Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 308. I just landed in New York. It is very late. Not as cold here as I thought it would be, so that's a plus. But I'm going to be traveling a bunch in the next several weeks doing what I consider to be the opening credit sequence from Catch Me If You Can, where I am Frank Abagnale and the flu is Tom Hanks. So I hope I don't catch that shit, because it is leveling people. So I will... I don't know, what am I supposed to do to prevent the flu? Like, I just put bread rolls in my nose to keep it out? I don't know. I'll try not to touch people. But I love hugs. You know, maybe it's worth it. Maybe it's worth it. But if you're in Bloomington, Indiana, the 17th and the 19th of January, I'll be at the Comedy Attic. And then the week after that, the 24th or the 26th, I'll be at the Tacoma Comedy Club. And then the week after that at SF Sketchfest. So go to Nerdist.com/calendar and please come to those shows. Populate them with yourselves. And I'll hug you. You just don't have the flu. I would like to thank for this episode of Nerdist Podcast, brand new sponsor, LegalZoom. LegalZoom.com. You probably heard about LegalZoom.com, but now I'm telling you about them, so please check them out. They're great. So if you have any kind of legal needs, they have the documents that you need. You want to start your dream business, start it. You want to start your Etsy company where you make Mario mushroom cupcakes. Great. Do it. Incorporate yourself or get an LLC at LegalZoom starting at $99. If you have a family, you probably want to protect them. You're going to have to leave your kids like your Xbox and your Duck Hunt t-shirts. So do that with LegalZoom for $69. You can make a will. Make a will of your stuff. Even if you don't have a lot of stuff, making a will makes you feel like you have a lot of stuff. And responsibility does not have to be expensive. In the past 12 years, over 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom for LLCs, wills, trusts, trademarks, and more. And save a ton of money. So start your business, protect your family today at LegalZoom.com. You're going to get a special discount from listening to this podcast. Make sure you enter Nerdist in the referral box at checkout for more savings. LegalZoom, by the way, is not a law firm, but you can get self-help services at your specific direction, or you can speak with a legal plan attorney to get your questions answered and get ongoing advice. So thanks to LegalZoom.com for sponsoring this podcast, which, by the way, is Chris Jericho. Now, as I said before when I did the CM Punk episode, haven't watched a ton of wrestling, but so far the wrestlers that I've been meeting are fucking rad, like really cool guy. The wealth of obscure TV knowledge that Chris Jericho has is rivals my own, which is saying something. I was an only child. I spent a lot of time in front of the television set, but I fucking loved hanging out with this guy. He's so... I mean, I kind of knew who he... I mean, I was aware of him before, but I had no idea how fucking zippy and fast and what a riff monster he is. Like, he'll riff with you, so this is a really enjoyable podcast that we did at, like, 9 o'clock in the morning before I had to go to CES. So here it is. You can follow Chris Jericho on Twitter, at I am Jericho. So there you go. We'll definitely have him back on. Super, super cool dude. And so far, I think we're 2 for 2 with kick-ass wrestlers. So maybe we'll just keep this train going. All right, Nerdist Podcast number 308 with Chris Jericho.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
We'll be right back. Consumer Electronics Show.
You know what's funny? Because somebody had just told me about that. When you first said CES, I was thinking you were saying CSI. Like, oh, you have like a guest part?
No, no, no. I'm actually a crime scene investigator.
For real?
Yeah, and I just like to go in and look at blood samples.
Use your notoriety from The Nerdist. Yeah. And Talking Dead to help solve crimes.
I'm kind of like Jesus.
It's like a really crappy comic book.
It's the crappiest.
Like it's the worst.
Crappiest comic book ever.
Using your power as a podcaster.
Comedy PI.
Yeah, right.
Joke.
Crimes.
Now let's see who killed the Evans boy or whatever.
Boom, bam, exactly. The DNA shows. Yeah, that it's a wacky time of year.
I'll tell you what, though, that would be like a murder. He chuckled or whatever. Like that'd be a Murder, She Wrote kind of thing where every town I go to, I do a set and then I solve a murder.
Or maybe people are actually getting killed during the set. Like something happens. It's like 24. Yeah, we had the worst day ever.
Yeah,
you have the worst like luck at your sets. Like every time somebody dies or gets robbed or loses a limb.
But I gotta tell you something.
You should fire that over.
I think I would need a buddy with exceptional physical prowess.
I think so.
Because I can't.
Well,
I can talk
Chris,
my way
I
out of things.
This has the CW written all over it. I think we should take some pitch meetings after the CES.
This is going to be...
The one thing you would not want written on anything is CW.
The greatest show ever. Oh, this is
Name great. One show from CW.
I
is
can
there
do
one?
That. It's called Supernatural.
Supernatural, yeah.
The only reason I can do that is because Mosher and I were on a podcast and we were talking about how there's no famous like cars, like the Starsky and Hutch car and the Dukes of Hazzard car.
Right.
Yeah. Kit. On shows, and like I got like 1,000 tweets from people's like, there's a 67 Impala on Supernatural.
But you literally got 1,000 tweets, and that was every person who watched the show.
it was all of them.
That was it.
I'm so excited.
Each of you had a ratings box.
My old friend Eric Kripke runs that show. He's such a great guy.
Well, he's apparently got a very
Supernatural. So that is a CW show. CW still is in existence.
Other than that, it's
infomercials
and teen gossip shows.
Yeah. Right.
But here's my question.
And Teen Wolf.
Teens acting like adults shows.
Supernatural might have started on the WB. Like that
I think it did. It's been a while.
So I can't.
Didn't they combine and make the CWB for a while?
It was the CW. I think it was UPN. It was UPN and the WB. Combined to form
this is
CW.
A conversation of the worst networks of all time.
It's really cool. When the DuPont and the Colgate network got together,
DuPont network, very nice. I think there's a Sinclair broadcasting network around there somewhere too. Let's throw that one in there.
Oh, Sinclair! Yes. It's their fault that people think that dinosaurs made oil.
Why?
Because it was.
Their logo is a
logo is a dinosaur. And in the old days, I think it was approximate science, like they were trying to play on the idea of fossil fuels.
It's from actual fossils.
It's from actual. Yeah. Well, I think it's from. I'm sure I'll be corrected online, but I'm fairly certain it's from fossilized algae. It's plant life.
Huh.
It's decayed plant life and fossil life. It's not dinosaurs.
Well,
but,
I mean, what did the brontosaur eat? Exactly.
Lady Brontosaurus.
That's a little blue.
No,
that's a little blue.
No, wait a minute. If you're a Brontosaurus, you could eat yourself out. You totally could.
You could. Your neck is that long.
Your neck is that long.
It's the eternal question that you can actually, give yourself oral pleasure, which we've all tried. We've all tried it. There was a guy.
What are you, omnivore? I'm a pussyvore.
There was. I don't know what the statute of good taste is on your show.
Whatever you want.
There was a guy.
I just said pussyvore. Everything is okay.
Well, pussy, you never know for sure. Like jackass. Jackasses were in the Bible, so you can say that.
Okay.
There was a guy in wrestling. His name was Lanny Poffo, who was Macho Man Savage's brother, Macho Man Randy Savage, that the rumor was he could actually suck his own cock.
Whoa!
Yeah. His member was so large that he could actually, and maybe he was flexible as well, maybe a student of the yoga.
Was it like popping Lenny?
He could suck in Lenny. Lenny Pop, I think his name was. No, he was leaping.
Leaping Larry.
What did you call him? Popping? That he was like, Lenny Poffo popping up on the 619.
Let's kick some tunes. I'm gonna suck my own dick.
I'm gonna suck it. I'm gonna suck it. Suck my own dick, bitch. So yeah, that was apparently, and I never was akin to this. I never saw it, although I would have loved to have seen it, just for the sentimental value.
Sure.
But yeah, actually, so you talk about a brontosaurus that can do that. actually, Pop and Lanny Poffo can also do this.
And in some, and I think in Memphis where wrestling was born, they believe that oil came from him. So it all comes
it
back.
It all one.
But I think if I'm correct, the Brontosaurus is no longer the Brontosaurus. Is it not the Allosaurus now? I believe they've
said something to that effect.
Well, the Allosaurus always existed too. Are they saying it's one of the same?
Yeah, it's like one.
I think it might be one animal. I think it might be one. I'm sure they'll be correct.
You know who we have to ask about this? I say this with a completely straight face. We have to ask Slash. He is a dinosaur freak.
Really?
Yes. He's been a friend of mine for a year or 2 years, and his drummer told me, well, Slash loves dinosaurs. I was like, when I was a kid, I was that kid. I knew everything about dinosaurs. So I just texted him one day. I'm like, what's your favorite dinosaur? Oh, it's the Stegosaurus duplicatus. And I'm just like, oh, mine's the Plesiosaurus. And he's like, oh, that old thing. And he's like, so we need to ask Slash if the Allosaurus and the Brontosaurus are the same.
It might be too early, but maybe if it were later, you could text him during the podcast and ask.
I will text him right now. It's not like he's in Guns N' Roses anymore where he's still awake at 9 a.m. Or if he was in Guns N' Roses, he just hadn't gone to bed
yet. He already got away from that one dinosaur. Axl Rose, get out of town, everybody! Get out of town!
Hello!
Stop it!
Okay,
stop it!
I'm not going to be one of those people that's texting while we're talking, but
this is for science.
This is for science, and it's for the benefit of the show.
Of course, we could Google it, but instead texting Slash.
We're slashing it.
Okay, let's see.
That's going to be my new commercials. Jonah can do Bing commercials. Slash is my search engine.
The question is the Brontosaurus?
Was the Brontosaurus renamed the Allosaurus?
And the Allosaurus. Hold on, I'm going to reword it my way.
I'm pretty sure that maybe Slash gets like a newsletter.
And you know what we need to do now? Now we need a guitar lick of Slash playing the Jeopardy music when people are answering a question.
Yeah, exactly. Or do they? Okay, hold on. Do they change the name of the Brontosaurus? This is riveting radio, guys.
It's the internet.
It's free. It's a podcast.
It is. Exactly.
It's
free. This is free. Exactly. If you don't like it, you're not paying nothing. Okay. Hey, man, is the Brontosaurus and the Allosaurus the same species, or did they change the name of the Brontosaurus to the Allosaurus?
Okay, that's that good. That's fine. That's that'll work.
That's fine.
That'll work.
Is that not what you were exactly hoping for, Chris? Oh, that's fine. That'll work.
All right, so this is very exciting.
At 9:15 in the morning, if Slash is available for
fucking woke up Slash to ask him a dino question.
He's probably got a specific phone in the shape of a T Rex
rings.
It's the Rex phone. So I was watching a movie last night called Attack. No, Two Headed Shark Attack.
What?
Yeah,
is this like a mega shark versus giant octopus?
It is. Yeah,
movie?
Starring Charlie O'Connell. Brooke Hogan and Carmen Electra.
Excellent.
Charlie O'Connell is Jerry O'Connell's lesser known, but he's better looking brother.
Really?
But acting skills, not so much.
I think it could be Jerry O'Connell in a Slider universe. Come on, guys. Remember that show,
yeah,
Sliders?
What if it was Carol O'Connor?
Oh, my God. Carol O'Connor was an old Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, that would be crazy. And then Charlie actually has two heads.
And then on All in the Family... There's a universe where Archie Bunker has two heads, and one of them's nice, and the other one's racist.
Whatever makes them not spin off into Archie's place, I'm down.
Hey, man, that was a great
One head is a black guy, and one head is Archie, and so they have to figure out how to live together. Yeah,
I think I saw a movie about that once, like some weird movie in the 70s where a guy, maybe it was a Twilight Zone, a guy was a racist, and then actually became a Siamese twin with a white guy. And for some reason, I'm thinking Rosie Grier. Honestly, if we had, you know what we need to have? Like the one thing of this other podcast I did, which is a very popular podcast, but I can't really say.
Sure you can.
Adam Carolla's podcast.
Yeah, Carolla's great.
He's got a cat or a girl that would type up right now, Rosie Grier, two-headed.
He has a cat that can type?
He has a cat that can type.
Better podcast.
That was me trying to be hip. He's got this cat, man, and he types
on the
computer.
He's got this groovy cat, then they smoke some grass. Yeah. And
then they go to the Copa together, and bang, 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 they swing, baby, they swing. But the person, whether it's a human or actually a mammal, will type into the internet on the Google or typing things to Slash, but it would say Rosie Grier, Google white guy, black guy, and then you might find a picture of it. So I might not just be talking smack. This might actually exist.
Well, we do have a cat. His name is Kyle, and he's stuck in traffic because he drives here from like Bellflower or something. Oh, some crazy
from Belfast.
He lives. It might as well be Belfast. It's one of those crazy fringe towns in Los Angeles.
No, it's like it's wherever. It's Simi Valley. He drives in from.
Oh, he does.
Wherever the Reagan Library is.
I don't know.
Everyone knows that. Simi Valley. Duh.
I've been twice.
Which one? Reagan Library North or South?
I'm still in awe of your Archie's Place reference.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta remember that.
Because Maureen Stapleton or Gene, wow. Because Gene Stapleton left the show, yeah. And so they killed off Edith, and then it was like, it sort of mirrored the idea of their relationship where you thought Archie was really the alpha, but it was actually Edith who was kind of really quietly driving the show.
Yeah.
And then as soon as she died, no more show. He needed that balance. He needed that foil. Yeah, yeah. They took his yang.
So I'm not sure if you have an actual topic you're trying to get to, but I mean, I like where we're going with this. Let's think of bad spin-off sequel TV shows.
Joanie Loves Chachi.
That one comes to mind right off the bat. Yeah.
John MD, I wasn't a huge fan of.
Trapper John was spun off MASH.
What about After MASH?
After MASH, not
that
great.
That could be the worst.
Much worse than Trapper John.
Not great.
Because they had the best show of all time at the time.
Sure, sure.
And then they spun it off with the worst character. I think was it like Colonel Potter, Radar, and I think like Cookie the Mess Tent guy.
Well, what are we going to do now that this war's over?
Well, let's go play some bingo. Bingo, I'm wearing a dress. Shut up, Klinger, or something like
it
that.
It doesn't matter now.
Klinger was in it too. Klinger, Jamie Farr signed up for it. Gary Berghoff as Radar, and of course, Colonel Potter, who is played by Harry Morgan. Nice.
From Dragnet.
Wow.
Fuck yeah.
I always remember he had a song that said, I like to go swimming with bow-legged women and swim beneath the legs. That was his song. So, okay, so there's some bad ones. Is there any other ones we can think of?
What else? What were some other?
Joey.
Oh, yeah, Joey.
Remember that one? Yep. Joey.
That did last for a couple of seasons,
did it really?
Though. Yeah,
it made it 2 years, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
That was just because of the afterburn of Friends. People were so into Friends. Remember how popular Friends was.
And if you catch an episode of Friends now, you're like, holy fuck, that was the 90s. Like everyone, it was shoulder pads and hair gel.
Yeah. The button-up shirts, the two-tone button-up
sweater
shirts,
vests,
high hair.
Yes,
and the best of all too. And nothing against the man as a guy. I'm sure he's a great guy, and hopefully he's got his life on track. But Matthew Perry with his drug battles, where you'd have Chandler,
thin Chandler, really thin Chandler,
gaunt Chandler, portly Chandler. You knew exactly season 4. Oh, that's gaunt Chandler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Season 6. Oh, that's fat bastard Chandler.
Which pills he was on.
You knew exactly where he was at the time.
There was a whole different Chandler every season.
There is. It's like the evolution of man, that little thing. You could actually do that with Chandler.
The evolution of Chandler.
You could probably find that. See if Kyle was here, that stupid idiot.
If we... God damn it. You know what we need to do is go to the Museum of Television Radio and the Paley Center and have them create that on Friends like a science museum, like the evolution of
Chandler. The evolution of Chandler.
I'm sure that's already like a GIF.
Somebody's thought of it. Someone's probably making it.
It's a morphed GIF on Reddit.
It's probably morph GIF.
No one else really changed that much.
Yeah, not in the show. Not in the show. I mean, the hairstyles did. But as far as the bad, I'm still thinking of bad spin-off sequels.
Was there a spin-off of... Did Love Boat ever have a spinoff? Did any of the crew members ever get a spinoff?
Wasn't Love Boat itself a spinoff?
They never a spinoff of what?
Fantasy Island, wasn't it?
Well, they were both Aaron Spelling shows. But
yeah,
I don't think it was a spinoff
of One Man's Brain.
My fantasy is to captain a boat where every week you know what they should have done, Matt Myra?
Yes.
Love Trek. It's
nice.
It's after, like, let's say the Federation has cleared the universe of all of the evils. And so they basically just commission it to have people take romantic tourist vacations to
And the people
systems.
Are the same. It's like Captain Steubing is Captain Kirk.
Yes.
Dr. McCoy is Bernie, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Bernie Capel.
Bernie Capel, whatever his name is, the Doc
Bricker.
Doc Bricker.
Yeah, and yeah, and so and
go for his Chekhov. He's got to be in it somewhere.
But who's Isaac? There's no Guinan would have to be Isaac. Yeah, Guinan would have to be Isaac.
LeVar Burton could be Isaac with the blind.
Is Are you just saying that because he's black and Isaac was black?
I'm trying to think of black. Who did you say was Isaac? Guinan.
Well, I said Guinan because Guinan was the bartender.
Oh, Guinan was actually
Guinan
the bartender.
And Next Generation was the bartender. Whoopi
Goldberg. So are we going all generations on this? Or
I think we're going all. We're
60s.
Going multi-generational.
Okay, multi-generational.
Yeah, multi-generational on Love Trek.
I was going just because of the black thing.
I need it to be canon. So
canon.
Now is Uhura the cruise director replacing Julie?
Oh yes, of course. Uhura's got to be the cruise director.
Is it the one girl that was in it for a bit with the? She was like the blue. She was a doctor. She wore a blue miniskirt. We didn't see her much. What was her name in the 60s?
Is that my Nurse Chapel?
Nurse Chapel.
Yeah.
Man, you are a pantheon of useless knowledge.
Guys, remember Golden Girls got a spinoff?
What?
Golden
Palace.
What was Golden Palace?
Golden Palace was when B. Arthur left and the rest of them opened a hotel together in Miami.
Oh.
Don Cheadle was on it.
Wow.
He was?
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember that at all.
Ran for one season.
But I remember Empty Nest.
Empty Nest, of course, yes.
Was that a Golden Girls spinoff?
Yes, it was a Golden Girls spinoff. It was based on Richard Mulligan, who was their neighbor.
Wacky Richard Mulligan.
No, wait, was it Richard Mulligan?
Richard Mulligan,
from Soap.
Yep. Richard Mulligan goes up there with Dabney Coleman as a guy who had it all in the late 70s.
Fucking Dabney Coleman.
Dabney Coleman was he was like the freaking Tom Hanks of the late 70s.
He was
in everything.
Early 80s, 70s, late 70s, early 80s, he was the go-to like piece of shit funny guy.
Creepy boss.
Yeah.
Mean guy. Yeah.
He years ago when I still used to, this was over a decade ago, when I still used to enjoy the drink. I was really drunk outside of a bar once, and I was with Bob Saget, and Saget and I ran into Dabney Coleman, who was with Harry Dean Stanton.
What a wacky
pair. Yeah, it was a fucking crazy night, and then we ended up following them all over the city looking for an after hours bar. and Dabney Coleman was a hoot. He was a hoot. And this was over a decade ago, and at that time he and Harry Dean Stanton were both like, yeah, they're getting up there.
Yeah, oh yeah. Harry Dean Stanton was always up there.
Well, I think Harry Dean Stanton might be just like substance old.
Mm-hmm,
I think he's. Mm-hmm. I think he was older, and I think I'm guessing that there was some substances happening in life. I'm not trying to slander anyone. Maybe that's not true. I'm just guessing.
Substance could be coffee.
But they were. Yeah, exactly.
Could be.
There was a lot of coffee that night. And by coffee, I mean booze.
I mean straight up the nose cocaine.
But it was so much fun. It was such a crazy experience being like, you're Harry Dean Stanton and Dabney Coleman, and I'm drunk with you and Bob Saget in a parking lot looking for a bar at 3 o'clock in the morning. What is happening?
Well, here's,
let's talk about Hot to Trot.
Yes, right, exactly. What was it like on Mr. Mum when you were trying to bang Terry Garr? Terry Garr's another.
Terry Garr.
She was like the girl that was in all the Dabney Coleman movies.
She was fucking awesome.
She was very awesome.
She
and
still is.
Still is very awesome, yeah. But I mean,
saw her, yeah,
definitely that period of time.
But I had a random night, too, just before I forget. Who was yours? You said Dabney Coleman, Harry Dean Stanton, you, and who's your fourth?
Dabney Saget. Coleman wasn't trying. Dabney Coleman was not trying to bang Terry Garr and Mr. Mom. That was Martin Mull.
Oh, he was another one. It's the same guy.
Martin Mull.
To me, it's the same guy.
It's the same guy. And let me tell you this, just to drop some more names, in the year 2000, when things were going really well, in quotation marks, I was on Hollywood Squares with Terry Garr and Martin Mull.
It all comes back.
And Whoopi Goldberg. It all comes back around.
Lay out here. You in the top, you in the bottom. Where were you?
I flanked the corners.
That's kind of like the way they put like the left fielder type guys there.
Exactly. You would shoot five shows in a day, and those would be the five shows for the week of that week of Hollywood Squares. And so they just rotate your square. Whoopi was always the center square. And they would rotate you in and out.
Yeah, Whoopi had like, that was her thing for a while.
Show, yeah.
Okay, just let me, before I forget, there's 3 points I have to make because we're moving along fast here. Number one, my random night. Your random night was Dabney Coleman,
Harry Dean Stanton.
Okay, that's a great lineup. My random four horsemen that might be able to compete with that is Jericho, Vince Neil, Dennis Rodman, and Robert Shapiro.
All right.
That's not bad.
So our four horsemen fucked no one.
Right.
Your four horsemen had three guys who could go fuck a people and then one person to defend you in to case defend anything us,
right,
was really
exactly. Yeah. There was a lot of fucking and drug usage
and, one person
and crimes.
The
and then we went to a comedy club and killed some people while the guy was on stage.
But it was
call
okay.
Back, call
but
back.
Well done. Well, yeah, done. Well done. Well, then you
number two is I love how Bob Saget was so sick of being like the goody two shoes on
Full House.
Full House and on America's Funniest Videos that now he's like, so I'm the dirtiest.
Well, I gotta say, here's what I can say about Saget. Saget,
but he's overdoing it, in my opinion. He wants people to know, listen, I'm not a good two shoes. I suck my own cock. Like Lanny Poffo.
Like
I can
Poffo
do that.
And the Allosaurus.
Yeah, yeah.
Possibly also the Brontosaurus until we hear
I'm
back from Slash.
I mean,
he's really going over the top with it, you know?
Yeah. So, well, Saget was always, I love, like being a comedy nerd in the 70s and 80s, I loved Saget's comedy in the 80s.
So you knew of him before?
Absolutely. Okay. He was a fucking awesome comic, like super rapid fire, like, you know, he would just assault you with with jokes and punchlines.
This is at stand-up routines?
Stand-up, yeah. Okay. Stand-up in the 70s and 80s. There was the 9th Annual Young Comedian special was a special that Rodney Dangerfield put on, and Saget was in it, and it made a lot of, like, the comedians in that special were, you know, it was like Louis Anderson and Rita Rudner and Yakov Smirnoff and Saget and Sam Kinison. And so it was like there was a nice group of people came out of that. And then Saget did, you know, got Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos, and it was totally opposite really what his stand-up was and really the kind of comedian that he was. And so when he sort of broke out of that, yeah, he hit it completely in the opposite direction. But, you know, you just could not, if you've ever met Bob.
I've never had.
Just the fucking greatest, sweetest, most wonderful
Seems
guy
like
you
it.
Could ever want to know.
Like it.
Love him. I love him to death. Never hang out with him anymore. We were drinking buddies, you know, and then.
That's what happens when you move on. You have to leave your old pals behind. It becomes
well,
bad influence.
I didn't want to, but it was just sort of like, you know, when you first quit, it's like, well, maybe I should not hang out with the people that I was getting drunk with every night for a little while. So it wasn't his fault, but it was, but I love that
so you
guy.
Can look, you
we
can think back on it in good times. You should have him on. And you know who you all should have on is Yakov Smirnoff. America, what a country.
What a country.
In America, you come to party. In Russia, party come to you.
You don't even. Thank you. Good,
big
good
line.
Night.
Thank
you, Branson. You don't even.
Thank you, Branson. Doesn't have to be in Branson.
I would say a lot of the people Branson. That see his show in Branson don't know that the Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore. So
because the people that go to Branson are in their 70s
they
and
don't
80s.
Know. Yeah,
they still
exactly.
Like, damn, that we see that damn commie tonight.
Take that,
Bertha.
Brezhnev.
Yakov's Dinner Theater, guys. It's a lot of fun.
Let's talk about Branson. You guys ever been there before?
No, have you?
I never have. I just—it seems to me like this really weird, like Children of the Corn place that you don't want to go there. You'll never.
I got a question for you. Is there a wrestling Branson? Is there an equivalent circuit that's sort of like, well, that's the Branson
well,
of wrestling?
Well, kind of like, you know, there's a, like a Memphis now would be that, where you still
really?
Have the same guys. They still have, like, Lawler still works and Bill Dundee and, like, all those type of guys still work. And then the respective places where they came up, like Memphis will still have that once a week, you know, at the Memphis Fairgrounds, Bill Dundee versus Jerry Lawler for the 967th time.
Oh, my God.
So you still see that.
This time it's not even personal anymore.
This time
it's
geriatrical.
This time it's geriatrical.
So they do have that.
This time it's really dangerous.
Yeah.
This time we're comparing medical records.
I mean, most of, like, if you go to independent wrestling shows, there'll be either one of two. If you've ever seen the movie The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke,
of course,
like
yeah.
That is real. Like that for me, like really struck a chord because when I was coming up in the business. That's what it was like.
Yeah.
And there was always those two or three guys that had been, you know, not maybe headlining Madison Square Garden, but had worked in Madison Square Garden, for example, many times. And now we're working at, you know,
the
high school gymnasium.
Okay. Second worst road wrestling experience.
Second worst?
Yeah. Everyone's like, going to ask you the worst.
Like on the road?
Yeah. Yeah. Like what was your worst sort of like,
Well, it's weird. Like I have two books full of stories like that. So when you write them down, it's like I can't just go. But let me try and think of one.
You can always text Slash and ask him.
I got attacked by a dinosaur. One of the go-tos that I always use is I was in Mexico City and I went to this place called Vips, which I never realized was actually VIPs. I just called it Vips, and it was like a Denny's type place. And I always would go there after the show. And I went there one night and had my little steak sandwich and a fruit plate, which is always nice and tasty. And I look across the room and there's like this really pretty girl, a very comely young lady, staring at me, and I'm like. You know, this is a guy. Like, is she just looking around, or like, nope, she's staring at me. And I had like a pretty good name value that was like on the cover of like heartthrob magazines and stuff. This is when I was like 21 years old, I had long blonde hair and the blonde haired, you know, Canadian guy. So she keeps looking at me like, well, I'm just going to go over and say hi, you know, whatever. I'm a celebrity. So I go over and say hi to her in my Spanish that wasn't bad at the time. And she's like, hi. And she's like, oh, I really wanted to say hi to you and I really wanted to meet you. And she's sitting with a guy. So I'm like, eventually trying to figure out who the guy is. She's like, oh, my brother and I also. Oh, her brother. And then, of course, it's like, it's her brother. It's not her boyfriend. I'm so in.
Yeah.
She's like, would you like to go to a party? I'm like, okay, fine. I'll go to a party. Sounds good. So we get in the back of the car. The brother's in the front driving. I'm in the back with this girl. We become fast friends as we're driving. And, you know, as you're making out, and you know, Mexico City is a very big city. Lots of lights.
Mm-hmm.
And as the makeout continues, there's less lights and less lights and less lights. And suddenly, like, we're driving basically in the country. It's dark. And I'm thinking, like, where the fuck is this party? Like, where are we going? Finally pull over on the side of the road and the guy tells me to get out of the car. And as I get out of the car, he gets out of the car with a gun in his hand. Yeah. And he's pointing the gun in my face. And have you ever seen the beginning of a James Bond movie where you see the circle and you see like these, you know, the lines?
It's
yeah, but that's the circular
spiral
inside the gun. I saw that. Like I'm that close to the gun where you can see the spiral. I was like, oh. That's where James Bond came from. And meanwhile, he's
did
like,
you say, oh, that's cool, that's where James Bond came from?
In perfect Spanish. James Bond. But like you're thinking, like, hey, there's no way this is real. Like, there's no way. Like, that's how, I think that's how most people, if they're going to get shot, they just don't think it's actually real.
Right.
Whereas if you're like a ninja or Jean-Claude Van Damme or something, would and taken him out. But, you know, I'm just standing and I have no idea what to do. So, the guy basically says, you know, give me your money. And I give him the money that I had, which was hardly anything at the time, whatever, like 1,000 pesos, which is like, you know, 12 cents. So I give him the money and he gets back in the car and the girl gets back in the car and they drive away. And I see her in the side of the window, like laughing, like, ah, and I'm thinking, I just bought that bitch dinner. Like, this is the shits. But at least I'm not dead.
Yeah.
But I'm also in the outskirts of Mexico City by myself. So then I start walking. And I'm walking back, and all I'm doing is following like the glowing sky. Have you ever been driving, like you're in the middle of nowhere, but you see like okay, there's
like
lights.
Like Vegas is a perfect example.
Like,
yeah,
oh, we're getting close to Vegas.
There's the Luxor lights.
So I'm following the lights of the city, and I have this like stray dog comes up next to me, and it was like my only friend, my Wilson. I'm like Tom Hanks in Castaway, and it literally took me 3 hours to walk to anywhere where there was cars, because a couple cars passed, but they're not going to pick up a gringo, and I'm not going to want them to pick me up, you know, alone in Mexico. They kidnap people there. They could have made me.
Got robbed once.
Yeah, exactly. It could have made me into a human centipede. That was the moral of the story. Is if you go to a restaurant in Mexico, don't go to a party with a hot chick and her brother, and don't buy her dinner.
Really, what we want to say is, if you're ever invited to a party in Mexico City, go back to America.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. But I mean, like, and that's
really
like,
I bought you dinner and you robbed me and no blowjob. This sucks.
This is so shit, man. I hate Mexico.
Come on, I'm going home.
But yeah, I mean, that's
an amazing story.
Like, when you're young, you don't think of stuff like that, you know. Like,
well, especially the thing that fucks with your brain is that, you know, you're kind of famous at that point, so they totally, like, you were exactly the perfect target
Perfect target by myself.
Yeah.
No, and just dumb as shit. You know, typical guy following his cock instead of his brain. And, you know, I mean, I easily could have been shot and they could have, you would never have found me. It's like Mexico's like the Wild West, you know, at that point in time. It's probably even worse now. But you think about it, like in the middle of nowhere, if they would have shot me, thrown me in the trunk and, you know, put me in a burial ditch somewhere, I might not be sitting with you right now.
Are you here? Are you a ghost?
I'm actually,
try to poke your finger through him.
How ironic would it be if I was a zombie and the host of Talking Dead?
Yes, I should have. And just like they were able to con you, I wouldn't have seen it coming.
But I'm not gonna like. I'm not the cliched zombie that's gonna eat you.
No.
I'm the zombie that just kind of stays in your basement, way longer than you expected.
Oh, like in-laws.
Yeah, but you don't even know how to ask me to leave. How to leave?
or like a son that won't leave.
Yeah,
the parents'
I'm like
house,
a child. I'm a dead child that won't leave.
I'm really a zombie.
Eat cereal.
Can you go buy me Borderlands 2?
During the day.
I don't want brains. I just want Borderlands 2. And some Cheetos.
And one more thing I was going to say from way earlier on in the conversation is we were talking about bad sequels and bad TV sequels, shows.
Yes.
This is not a bad sequel, but there was a show called Valerie.
Yeah, I remember it.
It came, and Valerie Harper was a star.
Valerie's Family.
After one season, she leaves, and it's called Valerie's Family. But Valerie's nowhere to be found.
And then after the second season, it becomes the Hogan family with Jason Bateman. Yep.
Yeah.
Teen Wolf 2 is Jason Bateman.
Yeah, Teen Wolf 2, and that's T-O-O, not T-W-O.
Also, Teen Wolf also, they should have called it.
Yeah, Teen Wolf again.
Teen Wolf 2. Not as good as Teen Wolf 1. Not Bateman's fault. Love Bateman.
Yeah. But Bateman was kind of like the poor man's Michael J. Fox at the time, which is a perfect casting for him.
Well, it was, listen, you know, if we're following, since you brought up the, what did you say, Tiger Beat or whichever magazine you run out? Like, what did you say?
Mexico was La Idolos was the Mexican version.
So, but, you know, there was, it was, that was fun Hollywood news that the Bateman siblings were both on shows at the same time.
Right.
So it all sort of worked out.
And whatever happened to, but what didn't work out is Justine Bateman's career. What happened to her?
She's still,
she went to go get like a master's and stuff. She does like all sorts of crazy.
Oh, she's pretentious. She let's stop.
She's fucking
acting.
Smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's really smart.
You want to know another example of that?
Yes.
Jeff Skunk Baxter, guitar player for Steely Dan, the Doobie Brothers, the guy with a big giant stash.
Yes.
And long hair. He's literally a rocket scientist.
Now that I did not know.
For the U.S. government.
What?
He is a rocket scientist for the U.S. government. He lived... This is a, like... I've become a little bit of a Jeff Skunk Baxter-ophile. We never know why his nickname is Skunk, by the way. He won't tell anybody. But he lived next door to a guy who was a scientist and used to get, like, this magazine, like, Rocket Scientist Monthly, for example.
And then also huge bags of weed.
Huge bags of weed. A lot of LSD. A lot of psychedelics.
And science magazines.
And it made perfect sense to Jeff one day when he got the neighbor's magazine in his mailbox. My neighbor wasn't home. Maybe took some psychedelics, smoked some weed, read this thing, made perfect sense to him. Subscribed to the magazine himself and said, this shit ain't too hard. I'm going to do it. And now he is a rocket scientist for the U.S. government.
I think What a Fool Believes is actually about creationism. Come on, you guys.
Come on, man. Hello.
It works.
And that stupid McDonald couldn't keep up. Dummy.
What a fool believes. The white man here's a pervert.
That was my first attempt. That was good. That could be our second project.
Listen, when Lawler and whoever are in Memphis do that, you and I will do the dueling Michael McDonald's.
Dueling Michael McDonald's.
No physical contact. This is all Paul driving. Fucking awesome.
I got such a long way to go.
Such a long way to go.
No, I'm doing Christopher Cross. And I got such a long way to go.
Such a long way to go.
Make it to the border of Mexico. And
let's see. You remember the old SCTV sketch where.
Dude, just the fact you just said SCTV, I love you forever.
Of course, you're Canadian.
Yeah. What was the sketch?
The sketch was Rick Moranis was playing Michael McDonald, and he keeps leaving the studio, but then that part comes in where he has to runs back in and comes to Michael's such a long way to go, and then he like leaves again and gets in his car, and then he's gotta run back and such a long way to go.
How did you watch that in Memphis? Are you just a fan afterwards?
Oh no! I watched it. We had SCTV in the States, and I was, like I said, I was a huge comedy nerd, so SCTV was a
Circus
Lupus, the Circus of Wolves.
We grew up like every SCTV, and you watch SCTV back now, and every episode would have like two or three like just shit skits, but one like classic, you know, 3D House of Beef or
right.
You know, whatever. And you watch it back, like I said, and those guys for I'm sure for anybody that likes comedy, but for Canadians, it's ingrained in your system. Like Joe Flaherty is like the best ever.
Yeah.
And has probably done maybe three things ever in Hollywood. And one of them was the cameo in Back to the Future 2.
And he was also in Freaks and Geeks too.
Freaks and Geeks, right. Yeah. But the other day, right before Christmas, Martin Short guest hosted SNL.
Yeah. Yeah.
And McCartney was the musical guest. I'm a huge Beatles fan. So like, oh, I got to see McCartney. And Martin Short, like, where's he been? Dude, he was so funny. Yeah, on it. Like, he was amazingly
He was
funny.
Doing Jiminy Glick on Broadway for a while.
Was he?
Yeah. But he's,
there was a big,
he's mind-blowing.
There was a big poll, I remember, in WCW, which was the wrestling company that Ted Turner owned.
Oh, okay.
Back in 97, and it was actually at the time beating the WWE. And there was this guy called Disco Inferno, and his gimmick was a disco dancer. And he was convinced that Martin Short was not funny. And I'm like, you're crazy. Martin Short is fucking a genius. He's not funny. So we took a poll. We got a list of the roster and walked up to every person in the dressing room and asked them, is Martin Short funny or not funny? And this is on a day of TV. Like, you're supposed to be doing your job. No, the Martin Short poll is more important. So we did. We walked around, and the end up was Martin Short funny, 67 votes. Martin Short not funny, 52 votes.
Really?
Close. Wow. Was that close?
That's how can it?
Because Americans didn't understand. They just thought, like, you know, it was a lot, very similar in some ways to Adam Sandler. He had like two or three voices that he used.
Oh, I totally get what you're saying about, like, you know, he did the Ed Grimley voice and he had but Clifford's a fucking great movie. Interspace is a fucking great movie. Like, Martin Short.
Captain Ron.
It's like Kurt Russell, yeah, right?
He was like the nerdy guy that at the end finally has to stand up to the Cuban revolutionaries to save his family.
His role is the wedding planner and
Frank.
Yes.
I'm gonna say Martin Short is, and you know, I know Adam Sandler's a very nice guy, but I think Martin Short is light years above.
I agree.
Not just Adam Sandler, but like all of us. Like, I think he's an amazing performer.
I agree. And I think, you know, I always like to ask people who in your opinion is the funniest cast member in SNL history?
Oh, wow. One cast member.
Or top two or three.
Well, I really loved the season with Christopher Guest and Harry Shearer and Billy Crystal.
Okay.
Because, you know, there was
amazing season.
Amazing season because the Billy Crystal and Christopher Guest did the two guys who would talk about pain, out pain each other.
I hate when that happens.
And that happens. Oh, it's like I got one of those 16-pound weights you find rolling on the rumpus room. Yeah, and then I tied it to my lip. And, you know, like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Loved those guys. I remember loving Joe Piscopo on SNL.
That's an obscure
on
one.
SNL, he was like Piscopo and Eddie Murphy were like the standouts on SNL
For that season, right?
And then
you'd have to put Murphy in the top. I mean, that's
all
one.
Of them. Yeah,
Dana Carvey's up there.
I tell you, Will Ferrell
is amazing.
I think
absolutely.
It might have to be Will.
Will Ferrell's Will. The funniest.
I think it have to be Will, and then I think Kristen Wiig is
I was just
probably
saying,
tied.
Funniest woman and one of the funniest ever.
I think Kristen, because Will and Kristen had this thing where no matter how insignificant their role was in the scene, they, without trying to chew the scenery, they just pulled your focus.
Well, and I agree
Fred
with that.
Fred does that too.
Who does? Armisen?
Armisen,
other one that did choose the scenery, I think his mission was to make everybody laugh was Chris Farley.
Right.
He's another classic. Yeah. I remember the time when Adam Sandler and Dana Carvey walked around with, would you like some fresh ground pepper? And Farley's like wearing these giant mutton chop sideburns for no reason.
Yeah.
And he's like, why, yes, I would love some fresh ground pepper. And everyone's just like howling. He had one line, but everyone just wants to, like, they just loved Chris Farley.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
much.
Farley
but
was great.
Here's an interesting story. About the Christopher Guest, Harry Shearer, and Martin Short.
Right, Martin Short was on that, of course,
year.
Yeah.
Jackie Rogers Jr., $100,000
jackpot. Jackpot.
Yeah.
I have that on tape.
It's great. But the thing is that was the year that Lorne Michaels left SNL. So Dick Ebersol came in to replace him. And Dick Ebersol signed those three guys for one season as free agents. Because he came from a sports background. And if you're looking to bolster your team, you hire high-priced free agents.
Yeah.
So that's how that season was so awesome. But they only were there for 1 year. Because those guys were all big Hollywood stars at the time.
Yeah.
Especially Martin Short. That was like his peak in Hollywood almost. Yeah. So he came on for like, I don't know, $1 million for the season. And once the season was over, they were all gone.
Well, Jackie Rogers Jr.
had already done Spinal Tap.
Jackie Rogers Jr.'s Jackpot Wad, which I still have on VHS tape, that was the funniest I think so. That was the funniest sketch I had ever seen. Jim Belushi playing Bob Keeshan, Captain
Keeshan,
Kangaroo.
Yeah. Bob Keeshan.
Well, sorry you didn't win, Bob. But if you have a lovely version of home game, great. Like, that's really gonna pay for my mortgage. Like, and he gets all mad because she can't. He's trying to get her to say ringmaster, and she's like, monkey. It's a ring.
It's ringmaster.
Fucking. That's a great sketch.
Birds.
See,
no,
birds.
Baby. It's Billy Crystal. Sammy David. No, baby, they fly. See, birds.
See, birds.
Flies in the air. Birds.
Birds.
It's half of the Jewish. What does he say? It's like half of a bagel.
Oh, when he's talking about, when he's trying to get him to say, bagel. He says, whitey birds.
Whitey birds. Chocolate babies? Yes, next. Bing.
This is a chocolate babies. Yes.
He knows.
Oh, the woman.
Oh, he's here. We need you to look up some stuff.
Kyle's here.
Kyle, we need you to look up a few things before Chris continues. We need you to find on a computer if you have access.
Do you have a
Rosie
computer?
Rosie Greer, white guy, black guy, Siamese twin movie. It's a Siamese twin movie where Rosie Greer had like a
I don't
white...
even think you should explain it to him. Just make him Google that
find
and see
it.
What he finds.
Okay, so we're talking about...
The woman who plays Jackie Rogers' wife, Pamela Stevenson, was my therapist.
What?
She is a therapist.
Like, is this some kind of a comedy bit? Or she
nope,
really is an
she was
therapist?
My therapist. She's now Billy Connolly's wife and has been for a long time.
No kidding.
Yes, and she was my therapist. And that is the reason that I started seeing her because I loved that season of SNL and she was married to Billy. And so I knew like, oh, okay, you are a comedian and you are also married to a comedian. You probably understand why my brain is so fucked up.
Wow.
And she was awesome.
That's cool. She was like British. She had an English accent.
I think she might have, I may be wrong about this, but I think she was an Australian born, I think she was an Australian Brit. Like she was maybe born in Australia, grew up in England or something. I don't know. But great. Pamela Stevenson was great. And also in History of the World Part 1.
Wow, nice.
All right. We're deep diving.
I'm still waiting for part two, by the way.
We asked Mel Brooks about that.
And we asked him if that
you had him
thing,
on?
And he's like, that was just a joke.
Yeah, I know.
How old is he now? Is he 80?
He's 87, maybe?
Yeah, 86, I think.
Okay.
And he's awesome.
He's great. He's sharp as a tack.
I'm sure, right?
Hilarious.
He's still sharp as a tack.
Wonderful.
See, that type of humor has kind of been lost. Like, nobody is like that. Those guys just had that certain... You know, him and Carl Reiner, I guess maybe because they came from the late 50s, early 60s. Like, guys, like, he's just super funny without even really trying.
Well, they were
right?
all TV writers. And then, you know, so it was like they had these insane, well, we got to make a new show every week,
yeah,
no matter what.
Right, right, right.
And so, you know, like they were put through a system that most people are not.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was just that Borscht Belt comedy and like this. There was that golden age of comedy boom in the 50s and they all just came out of that. And so they were just like, fuck it. Like, they had to be like snipers.
The gunslingers. It's interesting that you say that because I've been reading a lot about the Stones lately. I'm going through a Hugh Stones phase. Obviously, the Beatles are my favorite band. But those guys, like, I was reading this thing that Keith Richards was saying. Is like, we had to put out a new single every 6 weeks, 8 weeks. Like, as soon as we wrote, oh, this song is awesome. But as soon as you finished it, you were... scared and pissed off because you already had to write another one.
Right.
Like it was never ending. It's something they could sit back and go, satisfaction. And we're like, no, you go right back in the fucking studio.
They literally can't get no satisfaction.
They literally can't get no satisfaction. Right. Can you not find the Rosie Greer?
I'm trying to get the internet.
I was like, it must not exist. But yeah, I mean, it seemed like.
I have to find this now.
Yeah. I remember from my weird childhood
go
memories.
Go walk around until you can find a signal.
We must know if Rosie Greer was in a Siamese twin movie.
You'll
where
be
a
our
white...
roving researcher roving like to find them, like, a signal yeah, in this.
Race in this, movies.
This bomb shelter of a building.
Yeah, you can't get any reception.
No.
Or no satisfaction.
There's no satisfaction, no...
But yeah, to mention that, you said that, you know, Reiner and Mel Brooks had to do that sort of thing in TV, too. I mean, they must have been just cracking the whip for all those dudes.
Well, they had to, yeah, yeah. Like, there's just, like...
Like, why? Were the people that, like, barbaric in the 60s? We want more. Oh, did she find it? Oh!
Kyle's
fired!
Yep.
Look at this. The thing...
How would you like to be the new
okay,
show PA?
Okay, guys. This is insane. I gotta wait till. Come back. Sit down. Okay, the thing with two heads.
It's literally just called the thing with two heads. What's that thing called with the two heads?
The thing with two heads.
Oh, okay, nice.
Not to be confused with two-headed shark attack. 1972, so this is like the height of like the race war. This is the tagline. They transplanted a white bigot's head on a soul brother's body.
Oh, my God.
All right?
Great.
That's the log line?
That's been log line. Plot summary. Okay, here we go.
A
rich but racist man is
dying. I can't believe I have to expound upon this.
And hatches an elaborate scheme for transplanting his head onto another man's body. His health deteriorates rapidly, and doctors are forced to transplant his head onto the only available candidate, a black man from death row.
From death row? Come on, America.
You don't want to just kill an innocent person in this movie.
And it was Rosie Greer, who's a famous football player,
yes, and
Ray Milland, who's like a famous, you know, the man with X-ray eyes, I remember from the 40s. So that is the name of the movie, and I'm going to find a picture right now obviously your listeners can't see it,
but they can go on the internet.
Three of us, yeah. But go Google. If there's anybody still listening at this point,
now that you've described the plot, and now that I'm picturing Rosie Grier, it does sound vaguely familiar. Yep, that's. Oh yes, I know that. I have seen that. Yes, now I see it. That they had to shoot that movie that way.
The whole like the guys.
We're going to need you to get into position. I'm sorry, Rosie. I'm inside you now, Rosie but Grier.
It's like the original human centipede, the racist human centipede. I like to, like, they're on some kind of a cycle. Because then Death Row, you know, black boys, they ride the motorcycles, man.
That is so fucking racist.
How did you find that? You don't even work here. See, you might need a new assistant.
Did you slash it? You should have slashed it.
let's do a slash check right now. Hold on.
Slash check.
We call this segment Slash Fiction.
Okay, Slash Fiction. Oh! We have a reply from the slasher. And it was like pretty much after he was on the ball. So this is, to recap, Slash, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, lead guitar player of one of the biggest bands of all time.
Velvet Revolver,
now doing his own thing. Slash.
Top hat enthusiast.
And also dinosaur expert.
The man has his own Les Paul.
I said, hey, man, is the Brontosaurus, Allosaurus the same species, or did they change the name of the Brontosaurus? He says, you're not serious, are you? Happy belated holidays. Wow, how was yours? Oh, wait a second. No, dude, I'm serious.
You're not serious, are you?
Well, say happy holidays. return the happy holidays.
I'm as serious as I am about I hope that you had a happy holiday, Slash.
God damn it.
I'm trying to settle a bet and need backup.
You tell him Chris Hardwick of the Nerdist Podcast. he's not gonna know.
Okay, so we don't want any dead air. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. This is very tense.
It is.
Took all our dead air and cut it together into one.
There's not that much dead air in the show.
Yeah, I'm thinking we'd get maybe 20 minutes.
You need to give people a second to breathe this in. They're still agog over the fact that there was a Golden Girls spinoff.
Yeah, Golden Palace, everybody. Check it out.
Yep. And what they actually had to do to make their money was pee on old rich men.
We forgot.
The Golden Shower Girls. The Golden Shower.
We forgot about the rest of the Happy Day spinoffs.
I've been saying Golden Girls Gone Wild for a while, but it hasn't been catching on.
Yeah.
The Happy Day spinoffs were Laverne and Shirley.
Yep.
Joni Loves Chachi. Mork and Mindy. Yep.
What was the first one that you said? Laverne and Shirley, right?
Yeah.
Mork and Mindy. They tried to spin Fonzie off, but he wouldn't leave the show because he's smart.
Because the show was a vehicle.
It really was.
Fonz.
It was Fonzie,
especially after Richie left and Ralph left. Remember, they went and joined the army.
Yeah,
and then it's basically like, you know, Fonzie grows a beard. Fonzie falls in love. Fonzie gets a big little brother, like, you know, like the big brother thing.
Yeah,
you know, so every show was just about the Fonz because no one cared about Ted McGinley or Jenny Piccolo when she became a regular.
Ted McGinley was the guy. He was cleanup. He would always come in like.
Clean up
like there's
the
an entire if you look at Jump the Shark, there's an entire section devoted to Ted McGinley.
Every show he joined ended soon afterwards.
That's except for Married with Children.
Oh yeah, because he was Jefferson.
But to tie it all around again, Ted McGinley, Ace on Love Boat, the photographer.
There you go.
He fucking
Absolutely.
Joined Love Boat.
He joined Love Boat. Yeah, exactly.
They should have been an episode where Fonzie had got cancer and he's like, I got Big C, Mr. C.
Oh Jesus Christ!
It was not.
That would have been enjoyable.
You know, it's funny. There was also a scene where Richie was in a coma. And he was, this is a real, real show. And he was dying and Fonz did the old talk to God. And it was like one of the, like, you know, Fonz is crying and it actually showed like that he had acting chops, but it was so out of place because Richie is lying in his bed and Fonz is like, come on, God, take me. Whoa. And Richie's just lying there with his over the top 70s hairstyle. And that's my biggest problem with Happy Days is that after the first couple seasons, they just stopped caring. They all had 70s hairstyles.
Why didn't they? You know, Fonzie should have just hit him like a jukebox.
Yeah, right.
I heard Blaine Capatch told a joke like, hey, you know, Fonzie died recently. Sad story. AIDS.
I watched The Family Guy the other day where Peter starts the Church of the Fonz. Have you seen this?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
like it's amazing. He starts the church with the Fonz because he doesn't believe. We found it.
We found it the second you walked out the door.
And what's shitty is I knew the movie.
The thing with two heads. And wait, there's. Oh, hold on a second. There's your picture right there.
Yeah, the best tagline ever: a white racist head on a soul brother's body.
Body, right? So,
you were very excited when you walked by.
So Peter starts the church of the Fonz, right? And because he doesn't believe in religion, he's like, I'll just start any church. And the best thing is that he super gets into it. And he's like, I call the first meeting of the Church of the Fonz. I would like everybody to rise, and they all rise, and now sit on it, and they all sit down. And then he's like, this is a book, a letter written from Potsy to the Tuscaderos. and he reads Christ. A little bit of a line, and then he goes, I want everyone to get down your knees and pray. And okay, we close with an amen.
Well played.
Well played, exactly. And then there's another part where Mr. C has erectile dysfunction and Fozzie hits him in the crotch and he's like, oh, it works. And Mrs. C goes, thanks, Arthur. So, yeah.
And then he said, sit on it.
God. Nice.
That had to have been in an early draft.
I'm sure.
At some point.
How come you're such a comedy nerd?
I think, honestly, a lot of it is growing up in Canada because we had, obviously, SCTV, but also the CBC is an offshoot of the BBC, mm-hmm. which is, you know, obviously British Broadcasting Corporation. So we got Monty Python, Fawlty Towers, Blackadder, The Young Ones, The Goodies. And I can remember probably getting into Fawlty Towers in about when I was about 9 years old. So my whole life was always this kind of warped, weird comedy that only Canadians really have because we have a combination of American and British. Sure. I mean, the best example is probably Kids in the Hall,
right.
where yeah. you get stuff that does not make sense. It's not funny, but it's funny.
Fawlty yeah. Towers you know? Is so fucking good.
It's people forget how
and
good it
two
is.
Two people wrote every one of them.
And one season they wrote it while they were married, and yep. the other season they wrote while they were divorced. And just how could you work with your divorced bitch wife? But I'm telling you, man, there's a certain type of humor that Canadians have, and you have it too. If you grew up with that sort, if you're a comedy fanatic, you realize that what's not funny is funny. It's all in the delivery. You know, so I think that has a lot to do with
it. Well, you sort of see it, like, if you look at, like, geographic comedy trends, you start to see it in Chicago, and then it kind of migrates north and then kind of bleeds in with Canada.
Yeah.
And, like, it's all part of, you know.
Well, like I said, in Canada, too, if Chicago bleeds into Toronto, England bleeds into Toronto, and that kind of permeates throughout yeah. Canada. So it's a real combination of the two. And I remember a couple years ago, like Bill Cosby went on this rant of how, you know, comedians swear too much and it's bullshit and you don't need to swear.
Did he say it's bullshit?
comedians swear too much and it's fucking bullshit.
But, you know, and it's like you think about the stuff that I always found really funny and they didn't swear. Like Fawlty Towers this day is still, Basil Fawlty is still the best worst comedy character of all time, the most uncomfortable, the biggest asshole, the biggest pompous dick of all time. He plays that perfectly, and no one's been able to match it. Gervais tried to match it with The Office. Mm-hmm. He came very close. He's probably the second best, just awkward character. But Basil Fawlty, I will go on record and debate anybody, could be the best comedic character of all time.
What is your favorite episode of Fawlty Towers?
Probably Waldorf salad.
Waldorf salad.
I mean, I want a Waldorf salad. I think, let me check. Guess we're all out of Waldorfs.
I like the hotel inspectors.
I mean, there's not a bad one. That's really true. Isn't. I mean, there's only 12 episodes of it. And if anybody digs comedy and has kind of a quirky sense of humor and you've never seen Fawlty Towers, you have to watch it. I mean, it is amazing. It's so funny.
Maybe not the John Larroquette version.
Is there one? There was a spinoff?
There was an American version. Wasn't there kind of, yeah, there was an American version with John Larroquette.
No.
Was it called Fawlty Towers?
It was. Yeah.
That is awful.
Someone look that up.
Adri, look it up. Fawlty Towers American version.
What's okay. do we have a dino check on
we
Slash?
We have a Slash report.
Slash report.
Slash report. Oh, I wish I knew.
No, there's no guitar in there.
Let me see what the sound effect is for the Slash report.
He's on the holidays. He thinks I'm messing with him.
Oh, no, that was the bull.
He goes, yes, it's been nice. Yeah, no, he
still thinks you're messing with him about the holidays.
Yeah. Slash. If he doesn't get back to me, I have to ask him again.
He really thinks you're fucking with him.
He does. So I'll give him another couple minutes, and then
Slash,
I'll hang up
again. Come on!
I'm trying to find...
He's probably at Cantor's right now.
trying to find a good guitar riff. Maybe this is it.
There's no riffs in there, as far as I know.
Oh no, that's jet landing. Heavy wind.
Well, he could probably play all those things with his effects.
Mm. You guys can't hear any of that.
No. I'm sure it was great, though.
It was an old guy coughing.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get the answer.
Three American remakes.
They tried that three times. They did a thing on Red Nose Day like 5 years ago.
They can't hear any of these because I'm the only one with headphones.
Oh. Well, I was saying, they did a thing with
Priscilla. Sorry, I'm out of here.
Priscilla Barnes,
Priscilla Barnes, that's it. I'm out of here.
I'm done. Not only did she spoil Three's Company by being the most uppity, not hot Jack Tripper roommate, but now you're telling me that she's screwing up Fawlty Towers. So what were the three American remakes?
There was the first one in 78 that was a pilot with Betty White. And then there was a second one.
Betty White?
Yeah.
Well, who was Basil?
Set on the California coast.
Oh, jeez.
Gatto Snavely.
Fucking Fawlty Towers.
And then one called Amanda's with B. Arthur, where they switched the sexes of the lead.
See, I hate that
shit. And
then
the final one was called Pain, which was the one that starred John Larroquette.
Pain? It was called Pain?
Yeah.
It was not called Fawlty Towers. No.
That must have been the name of the proprietor.
So we're gonna make the show, but we're gonna call it something different. We're gonna change all the actors. We're gonna set it someplace different, and it's not about now. It's on a farm.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's about space aliens. Now let me ask you this: is it Payne spelled P-A-Y-N-E?
Yeah,
of course it is.
Did you?
That's his last name.
Did you see the pitches last night from the Nerdist TV show?
No, not yet.
Well, I had sent one in where I was like, Jonah and I should pitch to the BBC remakes of British shows that were remade into American shows, but we're going to remake them again for England.
Yep.
So like we're like, okay, so you got, you know, Sherlock's great, right? Well, guess what? We made it better. It's called Elementary now. We got a lady in the role. But you know what you need? You know what, England? You need an urban one. We're calling it Holmes with a Z.
When you call
Holmes,
it Homies.
Holmes Slice.
No, it's just Holmes.
Holmes.
Just Holmes with a Z. No. Oh. Okay, we have a backup.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Slash says the Brontosaurus was renamed Aptosaurus after they discovered the former had the wrong skull. The Allosaurus is still an Allosaurus.
Whoa!
Yes.
See? That's the Slash report.
The Slash report.
That's fucking awesome. So it was the Apatosaurus.
Apatosaurus.
It was the Apatosaurus. That's right. The Allosaurus was a totally different dinosaur, which, by the way, if any reptile enthusiasts who've been listening to this podcast thus far, who've been screaming out the entire time, a Apatosaurus! Now at 57:24, you finally have the release,
and just in time too, as we're almost at the 60-minute mark, right?
Oh, that is so fucking fan. That came in just under the Slash wire.
It under the Slash wire, and see, that is the proof right there.
Slash, throw me the whip, throw me the idol, I'll throw you the whip. In the form of a dinosaur.
Remember, he's got the. Remember, I love when Satipo, which is that guy's name, when he's waiting for the idol and he's actually rubbing his fingers like this. Yeah. Like, throw me the idol. I just used that the other day. That is one of the most quotable quotes that not a lot of people know. Throw me the idol, I throw you the whip.
I give you that.
He throws him.
Adios, senor.
Ah, man. But then what happens?
He's fucking dead, like spear through the face. Through,
yeah, exactly. So, what's the verdict on the Disney sale of Lucasfilm?
It's a great idea.
I think it's a good thing.
It's a great idea. We talked about this before because you need a company the size of Disney to handle a property
the size of
Lucasfilm, and they already have an existing relationship.
Yeah.
With the theme parks and. And you know what? They did good stuff with the Avengers, and Disney did good stuff with the Muppets.
Well,
I think they're going to do fine.
You know what else I like about it a lot too is people are like, oh, it's blah blah blah. To me, it's the James Bond franchise. We can now have Star Wars 50 years from now. It'll live on forever.
Yeah.
The outside unique thing of, about James, you know, Bond though is it's the same family.
Right.
Broccoli's.
Yeah, but I'm sure Disney could understand, like you said, if anybody, what Lucas is all about.
Chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli.
Broccoli.
Hey. Dana Carvey, another one of the best SNL guys of all time.
I didn't even mention Bill Murray.
Classic, you know. But on SNL, though?
Yeah, well.
Just SNL. You know, if you're saying outside of SNL, absolutely. But just on SNL, you got to throw Phil Hartman. He's another one.
Oh, yeah. Phil, of course.
Right? Phil
and then I think the award for guy, I think there is going to be an award for the guy who underperformed the most on SNL, who then overperformed in life, Chris Rock. Yeah.
And runner-up, Damon Wayans.
Damon Wayans, of course.
He never did anything.
Some guys, it's really hard. Also, I'm going to say kind of Tracy Morgan.
Robert Downey Jr.
Absolutely. Robert Downey Jr. Tracy Morgan.
Robert Downey Jr. was already famous when he went on to SNL. They got the Brat Packers. They got him and Anthony Michael Hall. And then Randy Quaid.
Here's another one. Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Nothing.
No, she was... Well, no, I guess you're right.
No, well, fact, except for the fact their family's worth billions.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But on SNL...
Louis-Dreyfus?
What's the background?
Her dad's like...
Is Richard.
Financial...
Oh.
Like...
Oh.
Wizard oil guy thing. Oh, lots of money.
Okay.
Like,
well, and
buttloads of...
And the whole 10 years of Seinfeld didn't do her too bad
He
either.
Turned the Apatosaurus into oil...
The Oilosaurus?
I mean, it might not be oil.
Not to confuse you with the Allosaurus, of course. That's two separate species. You gotta understand.
Dude, and then this dummy was saying the Allosaurus was the Aptosaurus. That's the worst Slash imitation ever.
Slash set them straight.
He did, man. Slash, he set it straight. There you go, man.
I wonder why it wasn't Guns and Dinosaurs.
Because Axel was involved.
Oh, okay.
He was more of a florist than a paleontologist.
Right.
Had it been Slash's band, it would have been different.
Welcome to the Pleistocene. We've got conifers.
Welcome to the Jurassic area. Area. Oh, yeah, it's like a Jurassic Park sequel.
Jurassic Area 51.
Wow. Dude, there you go.
It's a
secret government
dinosaur area
that has dinosaur aliens.
Dinosaurs
in it.
On a spaceship.
Gerard Louis-Dreyfus is a French-born American businessman. His net worth is estimated at $3.4 billion by Forbes in 2006. He's the chairman of Louis-Dreyfus Energy Services.
And that's her dad?
The great-grandson of Leopold Louis-Dreyfus.
Well, no wonder she got all those gigs. She bought her way in. She's not talented at all. I was fooled.
She's one of those people that just everything she's done pretty much has been kind of like New Adventures of Old Christine did well.
Yeah.
Veep's doing well.
She was great when she did Curb. She's great on yeah, she's just
oh, she's
you know she was
talented.
Married to. You know she was married to
Brad Hall. Yes.
That's right. Oh. This has been really fun. Jericho, we got to have you fucking back on the show.
I can't believe I looked at the clock and it said 10. I'm like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
I got to go.
Yeah, we've been over an hour.
I know.
So let's quickly, we didn't talk about wrestling. We didn't talk about your music career.
We didn't talk about anything.
We talked about how you almost got shot in Mexico on a weird pussy heist.
We found out who can suck their own cock. And we found out that the Aptosaurus and Allosaurus are both different creatures.
So please, please tell us about that you actually have a sci-fi show.
Yeah, on Sci-Fi, it's called Robot Combat League, and it's like the movie Real Steel, giant fighting robots controlled by humans. And when you hear about this, it's like, oh, that sounds like a cute idea. It's amazing how far technology has advanced that this actually exists. When I was in the arena and the robot came walking out, if it hadn't stopped walking, I would have ran away. Like, it freaked me the fuck out. It's super crazy. And these robots fight fast. They move fast. They have 2,000 PSIs per punch, so they're caving each other's heads in. Decapitations, robots cut in two.
Just like Ivan Drago from
Rocky
IV.
It's exactly right. If you got hit in the head by one of these things, it would kill you. We've created lethal killing machines.
Why?
And in 20 years, when robots destroy humanity, you're going to know you saw it here first on Sci-Fi.
Just... bringing about the robot apocalypse since 2013.
Yeah. It's funny too because George Lucas's daughter, she's actually an MMA fighter, and she's one of the contestants because there's a two-person team that controls the robots. One puts on an exoskeleton and throws the punches. If a person throws a punch, the robot mimics it at the exact same time.
Yeah.
If the person ducks, dodges, dips, and dives, the robot does the same thing. And she's an MMA fighter, and George was on the set one day, which was crazy. It was the first day that I was there, and I show up, and I'm like, is that George Lucas over there? They're like, yes. Would you like to meet him? I'm like, yeah. And they go, okay, Chris, you got to interview George and go. And I'm like, I've never met this iconic like amazing guy, and I have to interview him right away. But I'm asking him, like, you know, what is it like for you to see these, this imagination that you had in your mind 45 years ago, and now it exists, it's living, it's breathing, quote unquote, you can touch it. And he's like, he said to him, the fact that technology has advanced to this point and it's just going quicker and quicker and quicker, it blows his mind because he never thought he'd see the day. But we have, this is actually, if you've seen The Terminator and there's that scene where they're actually in the future and the Terminators are walking over the human skulls, that's what these robots are like. And each one of them has its own personality, has its own character, has its own gimmick.
You know what I'm gonna do? It's insane. I'm gonna have a makeup effect and put a fake scar on my face, and I'm gonna show up as John Connor and start and try to murder the robots.
Just freak everybody out.
I think your competition needs a John Connor who is trying to get in between and kill both of the robots.
But you'll be forever known all the stuff you've done. You know, all of the great accolades that you have from this fine podcast to bowling trophies, to hanging out with Bob Saget and Dabney Coleman. You will be known forever as the first man to be ever killed by a robot when you get your head crushed in by one of these punches.
The first blow for the fight against the robot.
Yes.
But you know what sucks about it is that the robots are not autonomous, so that means that a person is like, get this fucking guy out of the way. Bam.
Done deal. But yeah, so that's February 26th on Sci-Fi, and you got to check it out. It will blow your mind just how much technology has advanced that we can actually do this.
Jericho, you're a good man, and I am so happy that we were able to have you on this show. And I meant what I said. You've got to fucking come back. We could spend 9 hours just talking about spin-offs and television.
I want to get more into this Valerie's family type facade, and how did Valerie feel about it?
Now, we're going to get in the car. You're going to start making out with Matt, and I'm going to drive you to Bellflower and put a gun in your face.
Thanks, guys. This has been a blast. Last man.
Thanks, Jericho. And you are I Am Jericho on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by LegalZoom.com. Whatever your legal document needs, LLCs, wills, trusts, trademarks, and more, they've got it. Over 12 years and 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom. Start your business or protect your family today at LegalZoom.com using the offer code Nerdist.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels?
There are murders in all of the books.
That she was playing them out in real life? You can listen to Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.